the meeting to order, and then can we do an oral roll call, please?
Yes. Okay. Start with Commissioner Amy Buck. Thank you. Commissioner Tanya Dobie.
I am here.
Commissioner Faruqi. Not yet. Commissioner Hamill.
Here.
Commissioner Lee.
Here.
Commissioner Matsuba. No. Commissioner Nimothy.
Here.
Commissioner Carrie Reynolds. Chair Mike Reynolds.
Here.
Commissioner Steinberg. And Commissioner Wang. No? Okay, but we do have a quorum.
Well, good morning, everyone. I guess I'll wait for you to call item number two on the agenda.
Okay, that's fine. Do you want to skip into item number three?
Well, we do like to start with an opening quote reflection. It's a new thing, so I can't really call it a tradition. And unfortunately, Dr. Carrie Reynolds is not available. I know that she's been very busy dealing with ailing family members. But if somebody else would like to volunteer an opening quote or reflection, that would be wonderful.
Okay. I did see Commissioner Matsuba did just join us, so just to announce her presence at the meeting in addition to everybody else.
Good morning. It doesn't sound like anybody wants to volunteer an opening or reflection. I'll go ahead and volunteer one of my own that I read just yesterday, and it is from King Solomon, from the Book of Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears down her own house. And I was thinking, you know, what does that mean to me? And to me, it means let us not destroy that which we have inherited, but rather let us build upon it, refine it, improve it, before passing it along to our own heirs. I think that applies to the work that we can do here in our commission to take what we have inherited from those commissioners who preceded us and to make the commission stronger and better and to serve the community better. And I think it applies also to all of our institutions that we have in this republic. So anyway, that's what it meant to me. Item number three.
Okay, and also before we get to item three, just to announce that Commissioner Faruqi did join us as well.
Okay, so welcome.
So item number three is monthly summary of commission activities.
Okay, this is Amy, and July began a new fiscal year, and therefore a new summary of activities, and there has already been in the support to hate crime victims, that goal has already been exceeded for the year. So it's always, like, for me, that one always stands out because in some ways it's good because more people are reporting and more people are reaching out. It also speaks volumes about the work of the staff because they're, you know, providing this really important and meaningful support during COVID and during this very challenging time and during a time when people feel a little bit more marginalized and are sometimes a little bit more isolated. So it's even more important, I think, to do that. Also, there's been some activities in terms of connecting with the Tustin Police Department to help to organize that event. And so Again, there's just a very robust set of activities that are going on in spite of or during this COVID time.
Thank you, Amy. That's great.
I don't know if Norma wants to add to that, though.
Is Norma here?
She's there. She shook her head no.
Okay. I think at this point we would have our open forum, correct?
Correct. If there are any members of the public that have dialed in that wish to speak, if you could please hit *9 now. Oh, I have one person. And let me get my, hold on. Okay, I have one person. I will unmute them. Okay, go ahead. Oh, come on. Ending in 244. That would help. You're still muted. Having a problem unmuting. Oh, there we go. Hello?
I'm trying to do...
There you go.
Hi, this is Pat Davis. Thank you. I was trying to unmute and look at something else on my phone at the same time. That's not a good practice, is it? Anyway, good morning. I sure wish there was a way for we who are just kind of hanging in had a way to see who all was in the room. I appreciate it when people are announced, but thank you for that. But I just wanted to chime in this morning about the wonderful series yesterday that I attended. The staff at the whole human relations event yesterday on the history in Orange County, and I have to really credit the staff for not only sharing great information, which I understand has a history in and of itself in development, but just the manner in which it was shared with a group that I think actually gained a lot of insight to why, for many of us, what's going on right now is not new, and unfortunately it's going to continue, and I do see that this body has a great way and an option to create some influence, and for that reason I wanted to again comment on the action plan that you have offered up for discussion later. I don't know if I'll stay that long for another. I've got two more Zoom things before noon to stick my head in. But I'm just concerned that the once per quarter meeting in this day and time and this climate is not enough. That's easy for me to say because you're the ones who would be doing the work and certainly looking to staff. But I think there has to be a greater presence in the community, and folks do look to you just by virtue of how you are titled and charged. And I would hope that you would consider that if it means having staff do more, but seeing not only the complexities but the simplicity in what was offered last night and how that can create change and bring people through to a greater understanding, you can continue to elevate that kind of work as well, being open to hearing from the community. And then one hopes passing those recommendations on to the Board of Supervisors. So thank you for listening. And again, thank you for folks last night. I look forward to next week and the weeks after. And even more importantly, I got to do a little more studying. Having lived in Brea for many years and being involved in the Fanning Project, I was thrilled to see that that was also referenced in the ways that our communities are changing. So thank you again.
Thank you. Okay, and actually, besides Ms. Pat Davis and Renee Ramirez, that's the only two callers we have, so that's it.
Okay, great. Well, it looks like now we're on to item number four.
Yep.
Which is the election of officers for the ensuing year. Gavel, I guess, formally gets passed on August 21st of 2020, which is a week from tomorrow. Now, ordinarily, when we've had elections, we've done it, you know, there was a nomination process, and then, you know, that took place a month before. But it looks like, you know, now what we're doing is we're having the election take place at this meeting. Am I correct in that, Norma?
She's nodding her head yes. You are muted,
okay.
Norma.
And thanks for the play-by-play, because I'm on speakerphone, not on video.
Yes, Jamie, do you need to read the agenda item?
Oh, yes, I can. Okay, so item number 4 is conduct election of officers for the period of August 21st, 2020 through August 20th of 2021.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Michael Reynolds, and thank you, Jamie. Hi, everybody. I'm going to frame the conversation before we go into the nominations of chair and vice chair. So per Article 8 of the OC Human Relations Commission bylaws, the commission shall elect by majority vote a chair and a vice chair each year. The chair and vice chair shall serve 1-year terms and are limited to 2 consecutive terms. So if we look at our current chair and current vice chair, they have both served 1 year. At this point, the role of the chair shall be to preside all over regular and special meetings, act as an ex officio member of all committees, establish committees, and coordinate the appointment of members thereto, accept the executive committee and nominating committee, represent the commission, or designate a representative to public forums. Functions. The vice chair shall assume the duties of the chair when the chair is absent or unable to perform the chair duties of the chair. So at the August 13th meeting, we're going to do the elections today. So I'm going to open up the election process, and we're going to take nominations from the floor. So either you can nominate yourself or you can nominate somebody else. The way that we're going to do this is we're going to do chair and vice chair. So we're going to do the chair first. We'll take a vote and the majority vote, then kind of moves forward, and then we'll do the same thing for the vice chair. So I can take one nomination per person, and then we'll have to conduct an official public vote by roll call. So Jamie will do the roll call for that. So anybody want to nominate themselves or nominate somebody else for the chair position?
This is Commissioner Farid. I will nominate Michael Reynolds to continue to be the chairperson.
Thank you, Farid.
This is Addie Nemethy. I would also vote the same way.
Any other nominations? The chair. As I see no or hear any other nominations, Jamie, can you do the roll call, please?
Yes. Okay. So this is for Michael Reynolds as chair. Commissioner Amy Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hamill?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner Nemethy?
Yes.
Commissioner Carrie Reynolds? Commissioner Mike Reynolds?
Well, I'll abstain because I think it's more appropriate for me to abstain, but I'm very honored by the vote.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioner Steinberg? And Commissioner Wang? Okay, it passes.
Yes, welcome back.
Michael.
Thank you all very much. I'm honored by your support and your confidence in me retaining the position for 1 more year. Thank you again. And it is a tremendous blessing to be able to serve with such dedicated and terrific people as yourself.
Thank you, Commission Chair. Now we're going to take nominations from the floor for the Vice Chair position currently held by Dr. Carrie Reynolds. Any nominations for vice chair?
I would nominate for Dr. Carrie Reynolds to continue as vice chair.
Commissioner Matsuba. Any other nominations?
Norma, I have a question, though. Don't their bylaws state two consecutive terms, and hasn't this been her second term as vice chair?
Has it been?
I think she was vice chair with when Rabbi Steinberg was chair.
Oh, okay. You know what, you're right. That's right. Thank you, okay. Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
I lost track of that, so...
I know.
Unfortunately, we won't be able to nominate Dr. Carey because it is her second term. So we need new nominations. Anybody would like to nominate themselves or somebody else for vice chair?
This is Fareed, Commissioner Fareed again, and I'd like to nominate Joanne Matsuda as the vice chair.
Thank you. Any other nominations?
This is Addie Namathy. I would like to nominate Fareed Farooqi as vice chair.
Okay. Any other nominations? Okay, so we have two names on the floor. We have Joanne Matsuba and Fareed Farooqi.
I do need a second on both of those, actually, before we can move forward.
Okay. So can I get a second for these nominations?
Michael Reynolds, I will second both nominations.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and then we have to conduct the official public vote by roll call.
Norma?
Yes.
May I make a suggestion? You know, and maybe, I don't know, but maybe we just want to inquire with Fareed and Joanne to make sure they're actually both interested before we take a vote.
Okay.
That's a good
one. Yes, you can decline the nomination if you want.
You run the risk that both of you say, you know what,
no. That's right. After all, Fareed did not himself.
I will yield to... Commissioner Joanne. Being the lady, I'll go.
any opposition to your nomination?
Me? I would just like to say that I would think that at this point Fareed would make the better candidate for vice chair.
You can't do that. You're trying to pull a fast one on me. I know that.
Okay, this is a position, not a sentence.
I just, at this point, I think that I will pass on the nomination.
Okay.
I would be honored to accept it, but I think that Fareed has a little bit more experience in working with the commission, and I would like to get a little stronger before I accept the nomination.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Joanne. Fareed?
Well, I'm humbled and honored, first of all. I appreciate the confidence the commissioner sent. Fellow commissioner, I enjoyed working with you all. I had spoken to Norma some time back that this is my second year on the commission, and every 2 years you have to renew and get reappointed. And I do not know how that would roll out through the process again. That said, I'm honored. I definitely would consider serving as vice chair.
All right, so I hear the gentleman and
declining.
Decline.
I appreciate Joanne, I should say that I appreciate your confidence and your support and that of Dr. Addie Yamati. Thank you for the nomination. You are very capable folks yourselves, but I appreciate that.
All right. Well, then, Jamie,
could
you do the honor, please?
Yes. Okay, so this is for Commissioner Farooqi for Vice Chair. Commissioner Amy Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie? She's nodding her head.
I'm having a delay with my internet, so I unmute it, and then it mutes again, and then I try to unmute it, and it mutes again. Yes!
Thank you.
There we go.
Commissioner Farooqi?
Yes,
that's fine. Commissioner Hamill?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner Nimothy?
Yes.
Commissioner Carrie Reynolds? Commissioner Mike Reynolds?
Yes.
Commissioner Steinberg? And Commissioner Wang. Okay, it passes.
It's unanimous. Congratulations, mm-hmm. Reed, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your confidence, and Norma and Renee and Jamie, all of you, for putting this together. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your assistance with that, Jamie.
No problem.
Yes, and thank you, Fareed, for agreeing to serve. Thank you, Joanne, also for letting us know that you might be interested in becoming a chair or vice chair at some point in the future. Maybe I'm putting words into your mouth.
I'm trying to get that on the record, I see. Okay. No, I would be interested in a future date.
Okay. Are we ready for item five?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, item number five is discuss and plan next steps to move the Commission Action Plan in motion.
So there are a couple of things that I'd like to discuss with respect to this. This item number five. First was the comment from Pat Davis, who spoke a few moments ago, and hopefully she's still on the phone and listening in. But she suggested that once per quarter is not enough. And what I would suggest is that maybe what we think about with respect to this item, this part of our action plan, is that we make it at least once a quarter, so that once per quarter is a minimal goal rather than rather than a maximum. Recognize, I think, first of all, that this is a positive step. And this is something that can be very helpful to the community, and also weigh that against, the fact that staff is pulled in a number of different directions, especially the public budgets are expected to be getting slashed in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic and the reduction in tax revenues, and also the fact that it's a volunteer commission. Meaning that all of the commissioners do other things to put food on the table for their families. So what I think is maybe a good way to balance the needs of the community versus the resources at hand is to make it, instead of once per quarter, make it at least once per quarter. I would welcome any comments from the rest of the commission regarding that.
This is Mike Hamill, and Chair, I would support that language, because it gives us some flexibility, and we are able to meet more often when there are issues that come up that warrant meeting more often.
Thank you, Mike.
This is Fareed, Chair. I think what I heard from Pat is that once a quarter is good, but I think she's expecting us to get more engaged, more visible. Perhaps I agree with what you're suggesting, to keep it as a minimum one, but we have to slate in or pencil in, if you want to, more than one quarter. Meaning, what if you were to consider every 2 months, by month, from a quarterly, there'd be six rather than four such events planned. Because if you leave it open, the chances are you'll just do the minimum anyways, unless something pops up that forces us to have a schedule public hearing, all those kind of things. So this is just my suggestion, that perhaps you should consider, while we keep it as a quarterly, but maybe move toward every 2 month period.
Okay.
Well, this is Tanya, and I might be one of your newest additions, and I just have a question about procedures. Like, is there no work done unless there's a meeting? Because if there's work done and there's not a meeting, then maybe just sharing what is being done up until a meeting is facilitated. So then you don't have to worry about gathering everybody, you just have to worry about gathering the information and what action items have been achieved between the two meetings. Because I think realistically that's what people want. It's not the meeting that gets the work done per se, it's the actions that come out of the meeting that are put in place that actually achieve the things that people are looking for.
That's an excellent question. I'm sorry, Fareed, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, sorry. I just want to bring the attention of Commissioner Tanya to the item on page 505 of the agenda. And that lists out the action plan that was put together by the commissioners and was to host listening sessions via Zoom, leverage forums, ad hoc committee planning, community outreach engagement, develop timelines for listening sessions. So, and there are different line items within that. So it's not limited to our monthly commission meetings, which we talk about the overall reporting and what, where we are, of our assessment and issues, but it's more engagement with the outside to listen in and what the challenges are. So that gives people an opportunity, like Pat Davis and many others who came on the very first one that we did during this COVID period 2 months ago, I think. So the time is coming up, I think September 22nd one. So the point being made is, do we do more of this? Out of it only quarterly.
Any further questions from Tanya or from anybody else?
Well, my other question, I guess, then, and thank you for pointing that out to me, Commissioner. I'm catching up as quick as I can. I'm also getting ready to run for re-election, and I've got two kids getting ready to go back to school, but I appreciate your patience. I really do.
You're doing great, Tanya. You are doing great.
I'm trying, baby. I'm trying. But I guess my next one would be, since it seems like the major thing is information, does it have to be the entire commission, or can it be something that maybe, you know, chair and vice chair come together and host a call and just get the information out? Or is it everyone has to be, and then correct me if I'm off on some left thing, because I tend to go, I'm directional that way, but because it's just information, they want to receive the information from the commission, right? So could it just be the chair and vice chair, or their designation of, okay, you know, this time it'll be you two, next time it'll be you two, just to get the information out to the people with something like that work? Because realistically, it might be easier now that we've incorporated Zoom and we don't have to physically go to any one location. Like, I'm doing this from home and I've given my children little assignments while I'm on this call. So it's a lot more functional now. Is that a possibility, or?
Can I jump in here? This
yes.
is Norma.
Yes.
So when Commission Chair and I discussed this, it was definitely within that vein, Tanya. It was really looking at actually leveraging a current ad hoc that had been planning forums with OCDE. They were supposed to plan another forum for the interfaith community around hate incidents and hate crime in Orange County. So the proposal is to pivot for this ad hoc to begin to plan for these instead, the listening sessions. And at this point, I believe we have three members of this commission who are part of that ad hoc and planning. So I would imagine that those three folks would host and do the listening sessions and then come back and report back to the commission. So that was sort of the framework that we discussed. And my hope is that after this meeting, the ad hoc would, you know, right now the ad hoc would acknowledge and accept the pivot, and then we would plan for when the listening sessions would happen with Zoom, and kind of roll that stuff out. So I just wanted to add that piece.
And that's kind of what I was going to say as well, that it wouldn't be the commission meeting that would be added, you know, quarterly or added more of. It was those listening sessions, the groups going out into the community, so there would be one to two commissioners that, this was my understanding, there would be one to two commissioners that would be a part of those meetings and then bring it back to our commission meeting. So it wouldn't, it's not going to increase our monthly commission meetings. It would be just, I think what Pat was suggesting, that we should be getting out into the community more times than just quarterly to see what, feel the pulse of the community, see what's going in law enforcement, just, you know, what can we do and what is needed out there. So I see it as being one to two commissioners going to the session.
And I think that's correct. That's the way that I view it as well.
And then bringing it back to the commission meeting.
Correct. Yes, it's not. It's not something that's, I should say. I think your perception is correct that it is in addition to the commission meetings, and then the idea of having different commissioners act as moderators. I think it makes us all more effective as commissioners, and it also, by spreading the work out amongst us as various commissioners, it expands our reach as a commission, so that all of the burden, or a disproportionate amount of the burden, doesn't fall on one or two commissioners.
Right.
This is Addie Namathy. So just to get clarification, the community outreach that we're talking about has only been happening once a quarter, is that correct? I was under the impression it was much more often.
Well, keep in mind, this is an action plan that was only adopted recently. I want to say it was adopted in June. But that's not to suggest that the commissioners aren't getting out there into the community already for various ad hoc things. So these quarterly dialogues among community members is a new thing that's been put in as an action plan, but it is not to supersede or replace things that are already being done. Okay. There was also, looking at the action plan, there's the community dialogue with law enforcement. And I know there was a discussion of connections with Tustin PD that Amy referenced in the overview of monthly summary. And I was thinking maybe Norma could fill us in a little bit more on that.
Sure. Thank you, Commission Chair. So there's been several months now that Commission staff Lori Gadaboy has been working with not only Tustin PD but also the City of Tustin to hold a forum of sorts. We thought it was going to be a dialogue, but it shifted in the way that it was presented, and the forum was held last week, and the way that it was formatted, it was the city sent out a link to Tustin residents to post questions, so folks were able to ask questions ahead of time, and the forum itself was the questions being answered. So Maureen's role wasn't as a facilitator, she was more of a consultant, and how is it that you would answer some of the questions or engage the community. So unfortunately it would not be within the realm of our specific framework on how we offer dialogue. And I think that when we're looking at how is it that we partner with law enforcement and community, the key to the work that we do is what processes we use to engage and create space for community to be able to have a real dialogue with law enforcement. So I think that we need to keep fidelity to the process and the framework. And as this group begins to move forward in around item number two here in the action plan, keeping that in the forefront of our minds, how is it that we're able to maybe modify, but not completely turn around the way that we engage, or what structures we use to engage and bring folks together. So that's the update I have on that.
Thank you, Norma. I guess we can move on now.
Sure, to the next item. Or within the, or are we still with item five? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, I think we're moving on from item five, but I guess before we do that, I should ask if there are any questions for Norma based on what she just presented.
This is Commissioner Farid. I just want to know what timeline, what is our next event, or what we'll be doing within the scope of that action plan that we have adopted. There are elements of it going on with the Trust and PD and forums of that nature, but as to taking on and moving this forward, is this something that you're going to go back, Norma, within the ad hoc, discuss it and frame it and come back again?
The plan would be that the ad hoc would have to look at this and then develop the timeline for the listening sessions and the outreach. So who is, which community will be the first one that the commission's going to have on for the listening session? So I think it has to come back to the ad hoc for planning. So if you don't mind, I can always send out the doodle to the ad hoc committee members. So that way we can determine what's the best date and time for a meeting and kind of go from there.
That would be great. So we'll be on the lookout for that doodle.
Chairman, Commissioner, this was something that Norma had shared, and I do not know, going forward basis, I believe there's going to be a change in structure and how we interface. And meaning Norma is right now the ED and all that, but I don't see a line item talking about it on this agenda that we will sooner or later be directly dealing with Renee or somebody within her purview and department as to the commission. Is that something that we need to be aware of, or is it in the works?
This is Renee. Hi, Fareed. Hi, Commissioner.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Hi, Renee. So I think it's fair to give an update on where we are. We're still looking through the contract negotiations, so yes, we'll be bringing things back to you and sharing the details of the proposed contract in the very near future. But we aren't at that point just yet.
Gotcha. So until then, we function as we are.
Yeah, we have a contract in place with the Human Relations Council right now, and it is basically the contract that has been in place for several years. So we amended the current contract, the previous contract, which is now the current contract, to extend it by 3 months. So we're working on the details of the new contract, which will likely take place in October.
And Renee, as a follow-up question, so with this, with the chairperson, Mike Reynolds and myself as vice chair, would we be involved in participating in those discussions or as those contracts get changed?
So not in the contract negotiations. That probably wouldn't be a role for the commissioners, but in the details of the contract and what we'd be asking the council to do on behalf of the county, you would be involved in those details. So we would look to you to help advise on how we set things up in our structure and things of that sort. But the negotiations are usually handled by the county directly.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions or comments before we move on to the next item? Okay, why don't we move on to the next item?
All right, item number six is anti-hate campaign ad hoc update.
Norma, are you going to be able to fill in for Rick here?
I can.
Thank you.
Rabbi and I have been working with Renee closely on some of modifications to the anti-hate campaign proposal. We had heard that the Board of Supervisors had decided or had approved to utilize some of the CARES money to be able to pay and fund this project. However, because the funding is related to COVID, it ends in December. So we needed to make some modifications to the actual proposal to fit the time frame and the work itself to fit the timeline. So currently the proposal that has been submitted is a portion of the proposal to just launch a contest of sorts where middle schools and high schools are able to create anti-hate media campaign that would promote the following of the health orders around COVID, and then also promote unity and compassion and peace. And so at this point, we were able to hash out some details around that, where the commission would launch for submissions and, you know, with certain criteria, and then the schools and high schools, the middle schools and high schools who would be interested in participating would submit their content that should be created by students. So that's what's out there right now. We have yet to hear back. I think we last sent it out like last week. So we're waiting to hear back whether this is something that would fit the what the Board of Supervisors is looking to do. So we're waiting to hear back, and I don't know if there are any questions.
This is Michael Reynolds. I have a question there, and I just want to make sure that I heard it correctly. Did you say that there are two different curriculums? One is COVID-related and one is anti-hate-related, or did you say that there are, you know, that COVID is actually part of the anti-hate campaign, and if so, can you explain the connection there, or did I just hear everything wrong?
It's COVID-19, it's the umbrella, and the discussion is how the pandemic saw a rise in hate against the Asian American community, and we're using that as a vehicle as for the messaging in the media campaigns that would be elaborated or put together by the students.
Okay. Thanks. No, I completely understand that. I wasn't sure that I heard it correctly, so thank you.
Any other questions?
Any comment?
Amy.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. I am so happy to hear about this modification. For the last several commission meetings, I've wanted to talk about this, but I haven't quite been sure how to express it, but I really feel like you got to the heart of it with this. We do have so much, I think, hate speech and kind of lack of kindness towards one another when it's come to COVID, everything from racism to just the divisiveness around masks to death threats. So it's been very significant. And, you know, working in public health for many years, even some of the threats against the public health community. And so I'm really pleased to see this, because I think it's really needed to have something that unifies us as a community and brings us together so that way we can promote equity and promote good health for all. So I'm so happy to hear about this change, this slight modification in the approach. And I think it's very warranted and will do a lot of good in our community. So thank you.
Thank you for that comment. Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay. Okay, why don't we move on?
Okay, item number 7 is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Thank you. Unless anyone has any questions, I do not have an update this month from OC Sheriffs or OC Sheriff or OC Chiefs.
This is for you, Commissioner Mike Reynolds, Chief. Chief Mike Apple. While Dustin PD is doing these forums and we are working with them, I was just wondering, is there something that David, your department and Irvine, perhaps others, we had talked about that some time ago to expand and training and all of that, but David, in terms of engagement, is it something that we can add, or it has to be separate with each PD?
Bree, thanks for the question. I'm not sure if I entirely understand what you're asking. That's on me. But if you're asking about these kind of opportunities in other departments, yeah, I mean, I can tell you that in having conversations with all my colleagues, other police chiefs, other cities, that the conversation about social justice and about how we as law enforcement can find creative ways to keep on, keep up the dialogue with the community on this topic. It's really important. And what's interesting is right now you're seeing a lot of different organizations and entities trying to market their services and their training on implicit bias and other related topics to law enforcement. And so a lot of what we're doing now as chiefs is we're sifting through a lot of the information out there, really trying to figure out what's the best fit. And I'll speak personally for me. To me, there's a lot of different ways that we can approach this, and I think that for me, you know, on one hand, we've done, you know, as Irvine PD, we have hosted and done training on implicit bias in the past, in procedural justice and ethics training, racial profiling, as many departments have, and now trying to look for more training is important. But one of the things that I've really been trying to focus on right now and trying to find the right people to bring in is, if I could talk about what we did with our Chinese community. Irvine, as you know, has a high Chinese population, and a few years back we brought in members from our Chinese community that were residents here, and spent time with all the officers. It was a series of training where our Chinese community shared about Chinese history and culture, and really tried to give our officers and our staff more perspective. So that when our officers have contact with the Chinese community on calls for service, that we can exercise as much compassion and understanding and perspective as possible. So now, in the wake of recent events, looking for other opportunities to partner with other people that we can bring in and share about African-American history, Black history, Hispanic history, a culture, and try to create more of an awareness among our officers. And I really think, given what we want to accomplish and trying our best to build greater trust with our community, that doing that kind of thing and bringing people in from the outside to help share perspective and with our officers can be as valuable as any off-the-shelf training that's being offered. So I know this is kind of a long-winded answer for you, but I just wanted to use your question as a platform to discuss what's on my mind as a chief going forward. I can also share that just today, I had a conversation, I've been in ongoing dialogue with Pastor Rob Williamson from Christ the Redeemer Church, which is, I think most of you know, it's Black Church here in Irvine. And we've been talking about ways that we can partner to further discussion and to help build more trust and understanding and make positive changes. So there's a lot of different things going on, but nonetheless, I appreciate the question and opportunity to share what I'm doing in Irvine, but also I do believe I speak on behalf of other chiefs who are considering what are the right things that they can be doing in their communities. What I do feel very confident in saying is that there isn't any chief out there that isn't trying to brainstorm the best way to further engage and have ongoing dialogue, and beyond that, making real change where change is necessary and positive for the community.
Thank you, my chief. Mike Hamill. But my follow-up to that, and I appreciate you sharing the Chinese experience and share the history and culture and all that. Where I was going with my question is, you know, book on human relations, we have a platform. We are already doing some engagement, you know, with Zoom now. It has made technology, these kind of spaces to have conversations much easier than to physically meet. And based on what Maureen has facilitated with the Tustin PD, if we were to take a roadmap of some sort and we expand this, where we can get the police chiefs or within the departments yourself, you may appoint your assistant police or chief or whoever the designee may be, and we pick from different, just within Orange County, we can do it in rotations, maybe five departments from a certain area, and then the next time another five departments. We have a panel, we have these conversations, the audience is there to listen in what each is doing in this particular space, dealing with implicit bias or hate crimes and things of nature. So Orange County Human Relations becomes more relevant. Yeah, we are already doing this. We are just creating a forum and we're letting the people who are the experts come and speak. And adding to that other experts like maybe Dr. Ali Namathe or Dr. Other commissioner, Dr. Kerry Reynolds, people have got certain expertise from psychology to human behavior to whatever else that may be. So slowly we kind of populate that and cross-pollinate. I don't know if I'm making sense, but this may be a good way. Because what's happening? Good things, good practices are happening, and it's not being shared, or at least the initiators are not. You mentioned about Pastor Ralph Williamson. Just as a side note, I don't know if you are on that, but Norma is part of the Interfaith Task Force, which was just recently established. And the idea over there was to bring all these different resources during COVID and to use the best practices and what is out there, what is everybody doing, and how can we benefit from the knowledge base. And it's slowly shaping up. So if we were to empower a portfolio within this group of commissioners, and we break down into two or three areas that each of a group of us takes and says, okay, we are going to lead this charge and we're going to do this for the next X number, whatever that may be, right? And this may be an ad hoc committee discussion, which I will have Norma to frame it in. But I'm just throwing this idea, since it's already there, you're doing this, somebody else is doing it somewhere. Last week, Dustin PD has done this forum amongst themselves, which is all great. How can we participate? How can we be the facilitators, bring others into the space, have a conversation? So that's where I'm going.
No, understood. So, Fred, are you saying, as far as like the commission already has this program, right? It was rolled out for City of Tustin and Tustin PD. And so, I mean, I guess what I might ask is, would it be beneficial? How do we share it with the rest of the cities? How do we share it with the rest of the police chiefs? I could easily arrange for you and others from our commission, to come to a police chief's meeting. We're having a meeting, it's virtual right now too, but to essentially share what the Orange County Human Relations Commission has to offer as far as content or programming. And that way, all the chiefs can hear directly from us. I mean, that would be an opportunity, I think. You think that's
wonderful.
And would be good?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be fabulous.
Well, that's always an option. And through the years, I've been a chief now for 5 years, and members of the Orange County Human Relations Commission have come to the chief's meetings for a variety of purposes from time to time. And in fact, Maureen and I, who I see is on a call, we have a call later on today where we've been discussing a police community reconciliation program, which would be like an alternative, almost dispute resolution, so to speak, mediation, And I know that Maureen is going to come to an upcoming chiefs meeting in some other future. So, here's the deal. I mean, the commission has a great reputation. People, the chiefs know who the commission is. They know the work is done and what can be offered. So, so Fareed, perhaps we can talk offline more about that and about coming to an upcoming chiefs meeting.
Thank you. Hey,
this is
we...
Jeannie. I just wanted to add something to what the chief was saying on what Art Irvine's doing, and Garden Grove has kind of taken on that implicit bias, and we're really embracing it. And and it might be something worth looking at. We did participate in the recent Orange County Council's implicit bias training that was 6 hours. But we're actually going to be doing like a 20-minute online training for all of our employees on that. And then hopefully looking to bring in speakers, kind of like Irvine, to connect to the community. And I think more speakers and inform, being an active part of the community from our commission is a really good idea as well. And one of the person I do kind of want to recommend is the newly appointed Irvine School Law Dean, L. Song Richardson. She's a half Korean and half Black first dean at UCI and UCI Law School. And I had a chance to have her speak, and we're probably going to have her come speak at our city soon. But I thought, she might be something that our commission may want to invite her to get her perspective and, help us out a little bit. So.
Hey, this is Mike, if I could just comment on that. I've met Song Richardson a couple times and I've heard her speak, and you're right, she is wonderful. She's dynamic. I would love an opportunity to be in a space to hear her perspective and be able to have her be a part of any kind of community dialogue. She's wonderful.
Yeah. I was on a consortium with her, and I mentioned, some of the things that we do here in Orange County, and she did express an interest since she is here in Orange County, especially in Irvine. So I thought, wow, what a great resource, that we have in our backyard.
Absolutely.
This is Addie Namathy. I wanted to bring us back to some comments that were made a couple of weeks ago about the lack of mental health and social service referencing or information or referrals that could be also part of what we're talking about. So in addition to implicit bias, which is absolutely critical, I think if there is information that could be shared with law enforcement is what we've been hearing. If there's been any activity on that, and I would really like to know what people are thinking.
This is Mike Hamill again. One thing I can speak about it. If Rabbi was on the phone call, he would have more knowledge than me. But I would imagine some of this call, I've heard of the Be Well OC program. Amy, I see you shaking your head. So I have been on a conference call. Right now, that group is making its way throughout the county and doing presentations to different city leaderships, city managers, sometimes council members on the call, and talking about this effort that has gained a lot of traction and is being funded by various sources, including money from the county, to try to create these resource centers for mental health, mental well-being. So, Amy, I see you shaking your head. And so if you have more information, please share.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot to add to what you've already said. I feel like you summarized it quite nicely. So there is, a property on Anita Street that is currently being developed. And I know in one of my other roles in South County, we're certainly interested in getting something going there. And I'm not part of Be Well, but part of another group that's connected to Be Well. In South County, in South Orange County, there tends to be fewer social service resources and mental health resources than compared to the Central New York. So there is a little bit of a vacuum there, and it needs to fill that. But be well, all of that, including Rabbi Rigpen. I think it really is going to afford, kind of like there's no wrong door kind of thing. So no matter what insurance people have or what payer they have, they'll be able to access services, because there's a bit of a reverse disparity when it comes to mental health services, in that people with insurance and people with resources often lack access because insurance sometimes limits that. So Be Well is really a collective impact effort to bring everything together.
Absolutely, yeah. And so I think what Amy mentioned, the first center is actually being built in the city of Orange right now. Right out of City of Orange. And it, again, I kind of compare it to, if you're familiar with the family justice model, where you have DAs and victim advocates and mental health people that are under one roof that are intended to help victims of family violence, kind of a one-stop shop. It's the same concept for mental health, and it will provide both mental health and medical services, because oftentimes people that we contact law enforcement perspective that may be in crisis also have a medical issue. And so we bring the St. Hoke Hospital, which is not, they're not necessarily equipped to handle the mental health aspect, but they go there first to get medically cleared, and then what happens? And so having this kind of facility where, all the professionals from different disciplines can rally around a patient needs and provide the best support in one place is going to be really amazing, I think, for Orange County.
Commissioners, this is Renee. I was just informed that the county is actually going to launch a campaign with Be Well today related to COVID at 2 o'clock. So as soon as I get these details, I'll make sure that everybody gets a copy of what the plan is, so we're all on the same page.
Thank you, Renee.
You're welcome.
Well, this has been a great discussion. Any other questions, thoughts, comments? Okay. Thanks again, everyone. Let's move on to the next item.
Item number 8 is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
There is no update.
Go ahead, Norma. I was just going to ask if you could fill in.
there's no update. There hasn't been a meeting.
Okay. Let's move on to the next item.
Next is any announcements from commissioners.
This is Fareed Faruqi here. For the past 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, there was a global summit organized by Homeboy Industries. Father Gregory Boyle, I guess most of you, if not all of you, probably know of that organization, what they do with gang intervention and working with people who are incarcerated, to bring them rehabilitating and all that. So this was a global summit with people from all across the globe who are partners or work alongside with Homeboy Industries. And it was amazing conversations of different sorts. And obviously within the prison population, we know that, and when they come out and gang violence and everything else, there are many other issues, including mental health, biases, races, the whole nine yards. I think we have, and I'm just suggesting, I was going to bring this to Norma, but I might as well mention this now, to have Father Gregory Boyle perhaps be a speaker at our next commission meeting, but even how we can perhaps work with, even though that is LA-based, but their work is impacting in different communities. And we all face those issues in our local areas, and the law enforcement and everything else. So I think we have a role as a commission to play, or at least facilitate some conversation, get an understanding. I found it very helpful just listening in to the different panelists and people, experts in different areas. So I just want to bring that recent update.
Thanks, Fareed. Any other announcements?
Yes, here we go. Not an announcement, just a question on Dr. Danley's presentation last time. Did we receive a proposal from him, or are we checking into that, or his program signature leadership? Are we checking into that a little bit?
Maybe normally? Well, yeah, and thanks for asking. I did receive a draft proposal. I have looked through it and have what I need to do is set up a time to discuss it with him. In fact, I was going to ask somebody with some law enforcement experience. I don't know if anybody here knows anybody with law enforcement experience. That would be you, Chief Mike. And to go over the terms of the contract, because a lot of what's in the proposal is I can look at it from a legal standpoint and say, well, I have questions. What does this term mean? What does that term mean? But I thought it would be useful also if Chief Mike could look at it and raise whatever areas of clarification need to be looked at. There are also budgetary issues that, to be frank, I wouldn't know the first thing about, but I think Mike might understand. And since the proposal is based on it's sort of a hypothetical proposal, but it's based on the city of Irvine, then and the Irvine PD, I think it would be perfect for him to look at. Then what I would like to do from there present the proposal in context of to the rest of the commission in context of my review and Mike's review.
Sure,
Chair,
I'd be happy to look at it.
Okay, great. I will send that over to you, and then maybe you and I can get a set up a time to have a phone call go over it.
Of course.
Any further announcements or questions, comments? Okay. Well, we've come to the end of another meeting, and once again, it's an honor to serve with so many wonderful people, and thank you all for your work on behalf of our community, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon, and hopefully we shall all be able to meet in person at some point. Maybe they need to get that vaccine finished for us.
Great.
Have a wonderful month.
All right.
You
too. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye, everyone.